hey, everybody. This is going to be so much fun. We are going super mega throwback this week because we have got joining us from Polygon, Mr. Owen Good. Owen, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show, Rich. It's been too long. It's good to talk to you and Brian again.
It's been too long. And foreshadowing, yes, from Pasta Padre / the Sporting News, Mr. Brian Weedy. Brian, how are you?
Doing well. Glad we can get back together, and we got quite a bit of stuff to talk about now. In the lead up to the consoles, we didn't have a whole lot, but now that it's out, we have more we can actually go into, and we've actually experienced next gen at this point, so it's a more fun time for us, I think.
Absolutely, and here's the first thing that I thought of when this particular show came together. I'm like, this is a really different situation than the last gen. But if you gentlemen remember the launch of the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, the Press Row podcast was rocking and rolling, right? I mean, we go back a long way. Do you gentlemen remember December 4th, 2013, the Press Row Podcast Xbox One launch special featuring Brian Weedy, Owen Good, and me. Do you remember that, guys?
Yes, I remember that because if I'm not mistaken, I was connecting my consoles to my entertainment center.
That's right.
And I was deliberately showing you my plumber's crack.
Right. Well, I'm going to leave that part out. I was going to leave that part out.
Well, we're fortunate that this is a podcast and not a vlog, so we don't have that SportsCenter not top 10. But yeah, I recall that.
That was the 60th episode of this show. I don't even know what number we're on at this point. We are certainly not a weekly, media empire, sports video game phenomenon like we were back then. But you know what? The more things change, the more things stay the same. Here, the three of us are back again in November of 2020 talking about not only the launch of the next Xbox platform, but also the launch of the next PlayStation platform. Guys, this is it's just amazing. And by the way, back then, that wasn't the only thing we did. I mean, in November of 2013, we had a whole bunch of stuff. When I say we, I mean, the three of us, we did an NBA Live 14 critical analysis. Do you remember that when that came out?
I remember a lot of our live video hangouts.
Yes. And these were,
that we were doing back then.
And these were combinations of those. We had a huge panel deep dive in NBA Live 14, including Brian, TJ, Chris Jacobs, Owen, Rachel Sanner, me. Then we had, a week before that was the PS4 launch with the three of us plus Suzek, Kat Bailey, and Submit. I mean, we were cranking out the next gen content, and now 7 years later, here the three of us are tired old men. I mean, like, what's our excuse? What's our excuse? We're like, what, a full week and a half afterwards, and here we sort of sidle up to the Press Row podcast, and say, all right, here's the next-gen story. What's happened? What happened?
Well, Rich, if I could offer my thoughts about how things have changed.
Sure.
I mean, it's one of the great things. I mean, our listeners, our readers, and our, fellow game players, they can do so many things for themselves now. I mean, obviously, you look at things like streaming and sharing, and the fact that those were native to the last console generation was a real breakthrough at that time. And so, people are figuring out, that, frankly, that they don't have to rely on a lot of gatekeeping like we provide to get their fix and their understanding of what's new and what they like and what they're interested in. They can get that from, themselves, people they trust, people they know. I mean, I'm grateful to have listeners and readers, no question. But I think the direction of media is more granular and it's more toward the user. And I'm fine with that. I'll figure out what to do with my job. But my job right now is to play video games and talk about them. So,
I think that's...
Oh, go ahead,
sorry,
Brian.
Rich.
No, please,
I was just going to say, I think that's true of the industry. And then as we kind of hone in on the sports gaming genre, it's that there's fewer games, fewer relevant games, fewer of the big sports games, and they become largely predictable, and people know what to expect out of them. And as you see in this console generation launch, you had one game launch, just one sports game launch, which is really unusual for a new generation to come out that way. And that one game was because of the year we're having in 2020. That one game came out while the previous season really wasn't even complete. Current gen, that's being the case, and next gen, we were still in the off season before any transactions had taken place.
Which is the only thing they could have done, by the way. This is the only option.
Yeah.
Only thing they could have done is continue forward with the game. They had no choice. And by the way, right. I don't say that as a bad thing. I'm perfectly happy with the choice that was made because in three, five, 7 years, now no one's going to want to go back and play that weird 2020 COVID NBA 2K. Like, it's good that they're not doing something crazy like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just unusual times as a whole. And now we're just, you know, in with MLB The Show next year and with the crop of fall games next year, we're going to see, I think, an elevation in them. But but for now, we're in kind of this limbo area. And so it's weird. It's not your typical console launch all the way around.
Yeah.
So, Owen, what part of the next generation are you currently in, sir?
I have an Xbox Series X. I thought I had a PlayStation 5 when Walmart put them on sale on Thursday. I had it, Rich. I had it in my cart. I was trying to reel it in like Big Game Marlin.
Oh, I know that. I know that fight.
I mean, it was hilarious in some respects. But I will try again with them or with someone else because we're going to have Black Friday this coming week, and I'll get a PlayStation 5 then. But I have a Series X, and I'm enjoying it very much, and I'm enjoying the fact swallowed some coffee wrong there. I'm enjoying, you know, the continuity between systems. I think it's a little bit more, I kind of like that a little bit more than I thought I would. I mean, on some respects it's like, well, it's the same thing, it's just on a different or beefier machine. But I don't know if you guys know this, but over well, you may know that I was furloughed from Polygon for 3 months. So my summer quarantine furlough project was to install every single game I own or have access to a hard drive. And I managed to get that done. And I was delighted to see that with the Series X, it was just a matter of, you know, unplugging the hard drive from one and plugging it into the other. And boom, there's my library. Not only that, there's my game saves, with the exception of, well, actually, no, Watch Dogs did carry over its game save, and that was from last gen to new gen. You know, there are some things we talk about in a minute that I was a little bit disappointed to find about NBA 2K21 with regard to continuity, because I had – actually, I might need to go back and print a correction. I had been under mistaken impressions as to what would carry over from last gen to the current gen. But anyway, I have the Xbox Series X, and spending – hours with it nightly, and don't plan on changing that habit anytime soon.
Very nice. Brian, what part of the next generation are you currently participating, sir?
Well, I was able to get a PS5 on release day, so I pre-ordered both PS5 and Xbox Series X through Amazon. I didn't get the initial wave of the Xbox, but it came, the Saturday after? So just, it was 4 days late. And I was actually looking more forward to the Xbox, just because I looked at that as my primary machine. But there wasn't really anything to play on it yet besides what I would have had in the upgraded NBA 2K21 and then going back and playing last gen games. And then my PS5, I got that fired up on its release day, and you know, it's probably, as you have observed, Rich, I know the Xbox really doesn't feel any different from the Xbox One X, and the PlayStation 5 does feel different in a number of ways. So I got started with the PlayStation 5, and I think that was probably the right way to go. And then I've just kind of bounced back and forth between the two, depending on what I want to get into.
Yeah, I have been incredibly fortunate to be able to get both. And I got them both, you know, just the standard consumer way, hovering over Amazon and Walmart. I got one from Best Buy, and I think it was the Xbox. And yes, I got the Xbox Series X via Best Buy delivery, so I didn't have to go pick it up. They delivered it to me. And it actually got here 3 days early. I got it the Saturday before the Tuesday launch. And I plugged it in, hooked it up, and it was the Xbox One X that I also have. And that's fine. And then I couldn't play NBA 2K21 until Tuesday. So I didn't have a next-generation game to play. So it was very, it was... I don't want to say the word underwhelming because there was nothing that I could have even expected to get whelmed. Like, you know, I got this thing 3 days early. Like, wow, that's amazing. Like, I'm so happy I have this. I don't even care. It may sound silly, but I'm so happy to have future-proofed my console video gaming for the next 2 or 3 years. Like, no matter what, I'll be able to play the best version of the best thing. Like, I like that. Even though I don't know what any of the numbers mean when people talk about the teraflops and the DPIs and the 4Ks and the one mode versus the other mode, I literally don't understand any of that. And I know it's a huge part of gaming, so I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying, like, I'm that consumer that I don't know what any of the numbers you're telling me mean. I just, as a person who loves video games, I just love having the best version of the machine to play them. And Brian, you know how it is. You tell me, Brian Weed, what TVs to get. Whenever I need a TV, I say, hey, Brian, what do I get? Because I don't know anything about this stuff. So anyway, I'm just so happy to have the Xbox Series X, but it was definitely a, you know, sort of an awkward start.
You're going to say, yo, you got to come over and check out this Xbox. I got it early. Check out how fast it loads this game.
Right.
Like that's pretty much it. Yeah.
It's not that exciting. But as someone, you know, as all three of us who play a lot of video games, it sounds silly to somebody who doesn't play a lot of video games, but the speed of the loading of the next-gen games is an absolute revelation. So, you know, thrilled with the Xbox Series X. Got it 3 days early. Couldn't do anything next-gen on it until Tuesday when I got NBA 2K, which we'll talk about in a minute. Also, got same day from Amazon, PlayStation 5. Delighted, thrilled. Went ahead and picked up Sackboy and... Miles Morales Ultimate Edition, and there was another one too. Oh, well, no, the Astrobot was on there. Bugsnax was a PlayStation Plus. Haven't tried that. I've only played a little bit. I've sort of been slow rolling it for a couple of reasons, just because, you know, there's not that much, and I didn't want to try to, like, you know, go crazy, but also, you know, there's not that much. So I like to, you know, I don't have to rush through Miles Morales, or I don't have to try to, you know, play a whole lot of the new Little Big Planet. So, yeah, I have them both, and, you know, I was just lucky enough to secure the Amazon and the Best Buys, and I'm happy to have them, playing them both, love them both. Like, I'm a huge fan. Big ups to both of these machines. I'm so happy I have them, and it's great. So with that said, though, right, like, you know, the elephant in the room is, with a couple of notable exceptions, this next generation is not, you know, a massive launch of a whole new, you know, platform with dozens of things to experience. This is like, all right, here are these new machines, and then slowly but surely over the next 6 months to a year, we're going to start delivering you mind-blowing experiences. But with the next-gen games themselves, there are at least a few to talk about. NBA 2K21 is the only true next-gen sports game that did launch on launch day. Brian, did you play it?
Yeah, I've spent some time with it. You know, as I mentioned earlier, what I really want to do is spend most of what I do with it in the franchise mode in my NBA, and I just don't have the motivation to do that until the rosters are at least set to what this next season is going to be. We just had the NBA draft this week. We just had free agency open up as we're recording this just yesterday. So that time is coming. This is when I think NBA 2K21 is going to start to feel relevant and necessary once these rosters are in place and once all these changes and transactions have been completed in there. We already have the draft picks in there and stuff. So I think that's where it's going to make its turn for me. Other than that, you know, I don't want to play through the story again because it's the same one from last gen. And I played some of the just regular games, but mostly what I was doing is just checking out how fast it loaded. And I was like, wow, okay. So just booting up the game on the PS4, it only takes 14 seconds to get to the main menu. On the PS5, on the Xbox One, it's a little slower, 22 seconds. But either way, it's so much quicker. And then loading in and out of a game, which I was doing to take screenshots, just remarkable how it's just, practically instantaneous. It hops in and out. It is, you know, you know this, Rich. We've talked about it. NBA 2K of all the sports games is the one that wastes your time the most. And there's still issues there. You still have to button your way through timeouts and halftime. But getting in and out of games so quickly, it's a huge, huge boost to these games.
All right. I'm going to say a couple of things real quick. Number one, I love next-gen NBA 2K21. Absolutely love it. I'll talk about why. Number two, I haven't played that much of it either, right? So, again, I want to be clear. I played a couple of modes for a bunch of time, but nothing, you know, not some exhaustive, you know, review of the entire game. Not by a long shot. Never will. Most of this game I'll never even touch, and I'll still play it a ton. But number three, Brian Weedy, it loads in so fast, and that makes the incredible amount of time that you have to watch stuff instead of play the game that much more infuriating. And again, yeah. I love this game. I love NBA 2K. I have for years. But oh my God, it's driving me crazy. I'm pressing button. Get past the screen. Get past the screen. Please let me get to the next play in the game. In game, there's so much time. It's got to be a thing the game needs, right? It's got to be, right? It has to be. Don't you think that's some sort of small behind the scenes, just crunching of numbers, you know, and loading of stuff that
I think,
know, like, it's got to be, because if you can get there five times faster than the game lets you actually get from, okay, there was a timeout, right? What I'm talking about is when there's a timeout on the floor in the game, you know, you just have to wait for 5 to 10 to 15 seconds sometimes.
Here's the problem with that is I think in some examples, it's intentional. They're trying to advertise to you in many of those moments. Companies have paid to have their products shown. You got your Gatorade in the timeouts, and you know, so they want you to see that. They're trying. They're advertising to you. And this is worse. It's way worse when you go into like the neighborhood or the city, as it's called now, because that's the whole point of it. But yes, I do agree. They need something like Madden, which we have really appreciated over the last several years. Once they added that button, you just hold in the button for like 2 seconds and it skips through everything. They really need something along those lines. And I hope you're right. And that's something they can implement here next year going forward, because that's one of my biggest gripes with the game in general.
All right. So we've all played NBA 2K. And I know that Owen and I have played different parts of it. So we'll start with you, Owen. Talk to us about your experience with next gen NBA 2K21.
Well, I have played my career, which I was a bit puzzled to see, and I had actually gotten it wrong. I thought that you know, because this stuff was stored in the cloud, that the guy that I started on previous gen NBA 2K21 would just carry over, and he doesn't. And I don't entirely know why that has to be the case when you're my team progress and things carry, but that doesn't. And I guess it has something to do with, you know, the cooperative competitive multiplayer environment, but I was a little bit disappointed to realize that. I was also disappointed to realize I'd gotten that wrong. And I was also disappointed to realize that because I don't use my face scan when I play NBA 2K21. I prefer to play somebody who actually looks like they know how to play basketball. And, you know, it's like, my last dude was so beautiful, and now I'm spending all this time and I don't know that I'm recreating him. Anyway, I have sort of run through, I'm sort of a very time taking holistic person. So I actually am going to play through the story again. I don't know why. But you know, the stories that Visual Concepts have served up are definitely a lot better than, you know, their counterparts at Madden, that's for sure.
Like them. I'm playing my career too, and I'm enjoying it. Like, and I understand that it's somewhat tongue in cheek, but it's, you know, it's very aware of what it is, but it's also for what it is, good.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I thought last year's was outstanding. I thought last year's had a lot of heart. But no, I mean, I've seen the city, and I've seen that I've been, you know, ghettoized to a rookie deal, like everybody else is. And, you know, I'm not a big multiplayer guy in NBA 2K21. I mean, it's, you know, this is a serious multiplayer game. I mean, you should have a commitment to working on your game if you're going to play that kind of stuff. And, you know, I just haven't had that time lately. So I haven't seen, you know, all of the city. You know, I've obviously written about this, and I've seen what Visual Concepts has to say about it. And it just, you know, it's the kind of thing where, I mean, on one hand you go, geez, you know, they're just monopolizing everybody's time. And then on the other hand, I go, well, but if I was a civilian, really, you know, and I would probably only play about two or three video games a year. And if I was a civilian and a basketball fan, I wouldn't mind that this thing was taking up so much of my time and had so much, you know, for me to do in there. So, you know, that was something that actually, again, that was sort of a perspective that I reacquainted myself with over the summer, you know, not really having anything to do. It was like, well, you know what? I don't have to be current on Last of Us 2 or Ghost of Tsushima or whatever else came out, you know, in the summer. I'm just going to play WRC 8 for as long as I want. And so I can kind of see, you know, that VC expects you to spend a lot of time with this game, but I think that there are a lot of people out there who will and will do it happily. That's sort of, you know, what I see with my career. The other reaction I'd say is, you know, you guys, if you guys both have Xbox One X's, I only had my launch Xbox One, which I have to say, you know, it's outstanding that it was that durable, because I went through like three or four 360s. The increase or the leap, obviously, in the loading time. I mean, that's fantastic, because you try loading this crap on a launch Xbox One. You know, it's mind numbing. So, yeah, of course, I noticed the loading times, but it's also, like, I was always one of these Luddites who just never really, you know, bought into the, you know, oh, well, the increased resolution or the frame rate is something that's, like, really noticeable. It actually is. And I really like it. And, you know, I think that it gives the atmospherics in the arenas, I can't put my finger on it why, but they have just a little bit more you are their character, as opposed to, you know, what I had on the Xbox One, which still had somewhat of an uncanny valley to it. And I guess it's just the lighting that I'm talking about there. I spent a lot of time, and people are going to go, why? But I spent a lot of time with the WNBA stuff that they're offering, because I wrote up a bunch of impressions about that for Polygon. And I hate to say it, and you know, Rich, you and I have sort of talked offline about how Visual Concepts is sort of in a no-win position here, but they didn't do themselves any favors with the way they handled the single-player career for my WNBA. The W. You're not connected to your player's development at all. And so the lack of interest that I have in that has nothing to do with the WNBA or women's basketball. It has to do with the fact that it just feels like I'm going game to game, station to station. You know, you have one off-week activity. It's entirely a background simulation. You sort of get a title card, pick one of three choices, and then, you know, you get some XP added to something. It isn't something I didn't expect them to just recreate my career. Certainly no. I mean, and obviously if they dumped this into my career, then everybody would go, oh yeah, great. You want us to maintain a second avatar and pay all the microtransactions for it too. So I get that. So it deserves its own mode. But what they chose to do with player development in this was purely, you know, their own decision and direction. And I don't think it serves the experience well. And it certainly doesn't create much incentive in me to play that. And my WNBA, which is obviously, you know, sort of the team and league control, I mean, there were parts of it that just, I felt like I was playing, I mentioned this in my impressions, you know, like I was playing MLB 2K10 or 11. You know, there are parts of it, you know, the very menu driven, no frills, very repetitive things, you know, the constantly being bothered for trades that don't make any sense. That felt very familiar and very bad. So those were in my short tour, which again, like you, Rich, isn't the whole thing. Those are my impressions. NBA 2K21. I mean, it's still, as a sports title, especially if you have a next gen console, it's still an essential thing. And I feel a little bit better about saying that now, as opposed to, like, you know, what we were seeing in October with this and with other franchises, because the story of every single sports game this year, the exception of maybe MLB The Show, but, you know, who can remember back that far, is that it was all incremental updates and everybody was sort of holding their hands or holding their cards close, you know, waiting for the next generation. And it shows with NBA 2K21, but at least it paid off with a good game.
Yeah, I'm delighted. I'm delighted with NBA 2K21. So the first thing I did was I played my career. The first thing I did was play an exhibition game. But then I went into my career. And my career is, again, to me, I love this stuff. I just get a huge kick out of how much they pour into making it fun. The story, the characters, you know, the settings, the dialogue, you know, what's happening. There's a lot of people that spend a lot of time putting a lot of this together, and it's done in a really good way. Like the facial animations, you know, the character models have, and, you know, without going crazy, like, I'm not trying to make it seem like it's some sort of, Oscar award winning situation here, but it's really well done and it feels heartfelt. And there's some silliness to it. There's some interesting moments to it. There's some interesting relationship dynamics. You know, there's a love story involving someone getting on a train and going away with a really good song playing in the background. You know, it's very aware of what it is. But long story short, I love my career. Love it. And you can do different things. Like, you can go right from high school to the pros. You can go to college. What I chose to do, and this might be spoilers to some degree, but I mean, we're talking about, you know, we're talking about NBA 2K21 a week and a half, 2 weeks after launch. So my career, I chose to go after my high school run, which was fun. I chose to go to college, and I went to Villanova, and there's a whole storyline that goes around that. And we wound up going all the way. We won all of our games. I met various interesting people along the way. We won the national championship. In a little bit of a weird, I mean, again, it's weird because they have a license for a lot of NCAA teams, like a lot of really good teams. There's a lot of great, teams and jerseys and college arenas that you experience. You know, I was Villanova. You know, played all sorts of real teams. That's fun. You know, but you don't play a conference. There's nothing related to your conference, which obviously is the core of the college basketball experience. And then after, like, our last game of the season, we jumped right to the championship game again. You know, so there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of sort of limitation slash suspension of disbelief is not the real term. Just sort of like, you know, the way that I've enjoyed it is just be like, okay, right, I'm just going to sort of let this happen and not, you know, get bent out of shape that I don't play a single conference game all year long, or that I go right from the last game of the regular season against Oklahoma, who's in the Big 12, right to the national championship game, you know, stuff like that. But it's fine. It's okay. And then, because I was having so much fun, I actually chose to stay in college. And so now I'm back at Villanova for a second year. And you can tell there's not as much storyline going on the second year, because I'm pretty sure the number of people that A, are going to go to college, and B, go to college and then stay a year after winning a national championship is going to be small. But yet, even with that said, when I chose to stay in college, there was a whole cutscene where you and your rival are being interviewed by someone for their podcast in a studio, and you both are saying, yeah, we decided to go back to college this year so that we could continue our rivalry or something like that. I mean, again, just so well done. Just so well done. And playing the game, as the guy in college is fun. I'm having a good time. Like all my careers in NBA, because I don't go to the city or the park, that's not my thing. I generally fall off pretty quickly once I get into the pros. Sometimes I make it through the whole first season. Sometimes I don't. don't know what will happen here, but I don't even care. I'm just having fun. Just having fun. I'll certainly go as long as the story takes me, which is what I've done in most of these. So just really having a blast with my career. And I've also, what I've done, about after two or three games of college, I'm like, okay, I want to do something other than playing as one guy. So then I started a playoff series, and I took my Nets. Now, I just jumped into the playoff seating of this year, so it was Nets versus the Raptors. Now, the Nets in this have a very healthy Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I'm playing on All-Star, and what I do is I play the game on the full quarter length, so 12 minutes. What I do is I sim until about halfway through the third quarter, and then whatever the score is whatever I, you know, pick it up. Ultimately, I did that for the whole series, game one, game two. I got down 3-1, actually, and I was never positive. Like, sometimes I would win, sometimes I would lose. Sometimes you come in and you're up by 5, or you're down by 10, or you're up by 18. One game I was up by 18. I wound up winning it, but only by like 9. You know, so I was ultimately -9 for the game personally, but I still won the game. So it's a very different way to play, but it's what I've been doing for a while now with NBA 2K, because I feel like that's a more sort of a real experience, and it's actually kind of cool, sort of either being given a challenge to either maintain a lead or come back from behind. And sometimes you're really close, so it doesn't matter. But ultimately, I played that whole 7-game series and wound up losing game 7. So I did play 7 games, Nets versus the Raptors. You would think that I would be able to take out the Raptors because I have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. But you know what, Brian Wiedei and Owen Good? I'm not that good at NBA 2K21.
Are you saying it's you're not as good as you were on last gen? Is there a difference there, or is it?
I didn't play a lot of NBA 2K last year. 2, 3, 4 years ago, I played a lot of it. Last year, I didn't play as much. I know why. I just, you know, my sort of time spent playing games went down a bit when I, you know, started working full-time and out of the park, as I sort of immersed myself in that. So that was probably the biggest factor, but I still played it. But no, it's just I don't exactly know. You know, I mean, I feel like I got to be really good at NBA 2K, and it's just like with FIFA, right? Like whenever I start a new FIFA, it's I rarely go from playing the previous FIFA to the next FIFA, you know, within a week or two. Usually there's 2, 3, 4 months, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter. Same thing with NBA 2K and MLB The Show and Madden. Well, not Madden. I usually play Madden all year long because of my online league that I'm in. But it's been a while since I played NBA 2K, and I'm just not good at shooting, and I'm really bad at one-on-one defense. Really bad at one-on-one defense. Like, it, even worse than my shooting problems, because I can, you know, with Kyrie Irving, right, if I get a step, I can just blow past most guys and get to the basket, you know, if I really have to. Not all the time, but that can happen. And with Kevin Durant, right, if you're any good, which I'm not, but with Kevin Durant, if you're any good, you know, you can make threes, you can drive to the hoop, you know, you can slam dunk, you can do all sorts of stuff. So I'm not there yet. I don't have my skill. I would have hoped by the seventh game I would have been able to pull it off. And it was probably my best overall performance, but I still didn't pull it off and get the win. So now I'm trying to figure out, I'm going to do the same thing again. I'm going to play another 7-game series, Nets Raptors, same teams, and just see if I can't win it this time. I don't know that I've got a season in me right now. You know what I mean? Like, sort of to your point, Brian, but for me, it's not because of the raw, like, I don't even care about the rosters being real or not. You know what I mean? That doesn't matter to me, in NBA 2K right now. Again, when that is, you know, after free agency and when the season starts and they update the rosters, you know, I mean, you can always do the start live from today anyway. So, like, you know, I just enjoy the basketball. I really enjoy the game. Like, I'm not complaining about my difficulty shooting or playing defense. Like, Fred VanVleet, that dude just constantly drives me. He just blows right past me all the time, which is why I don't feel bad sometimes, you know, like, oh, and you and I, you know, we used to talk on this show, obviously, all the time about, you know, you used to be back in the day in basketball games. You just, you know, you get a really good player, you can just drive to the hoop and slam it, you know, just go nuts. I feel kind of like that sometimes with Kyrie, but not really. But like, you know, Fred Van Fleet just embarrassed me. He would just constantly catch me in pick and rolls and blast right past me to the
What defense are you running?
I don't know. And I put on all
Are you
the,
just in man-to-man? Because if you get out of it and go into a zone or something,
well, you know,
get some help.
Here's another thing. Again, Brian, I'm bad at this. I'm bad at the game. And it's fine. Like, I have play art turned on. You know, we've had our good friends Scott O'Gallagher and Dazar come on this show many times in the past. And I always ask them, what are your tips for getting better, you know, when you play? And they always say, put on the art, put on the play art, which I do, which is great. Because you see when people are going to set picks and you can try to get by them and stuff. But I don't have that working for me, I guess, on defense. Like, you know, the problem, and it's not even their fault, right? But, like, there's so many options and settings, like in every sports game. It's hard to even know where to go look to find things to – like, I had to have somebody tell me show me exactly where the settings were to turn on the play art. Because, you know, if you don't have the play art on, you know, which, again, put stuff on the floor that shows you which direction guys are going to be running or what you should do, or you don't have the play being called out, like, on the top of the screen, I don't know how you would have any idea what's happening, because guys are just going to run all over the court and you have no idea. It's like, you know, if you're playing Madden, you know what play you're going to call. You at least have some idea what's happening. You know, if you're playing FIFA, you know, when you're on offense, like, you know, you're going to pass to the guy who sort of break into the goal. But here, you know, if you don't have that stuff turned on, you just would be completely lost.
I have to turn the play art on. Actually, what I have to do is I find myself going back to Google, you know, what does the play art mean? Because, you know, so it's like, wait a minute, is this a pass or is this I move to a pick? Or wait a minute, now this is a gray line with a perpendicular line on it. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't even do that. Like, I'm sure there's more being communicated to me than I'm even aware.
So I turned it on in full because I'm like, you know, I need to have my hand. I did not play organized basketball at any level. Well, I played it at church league, but we weren't really running plays there. So it's not like I can sort of recognize, you know, what horns fist two double horns is, you know, off the bat. But what I do is I say, okay, coach, you call all the plays, you know, you do all the timeouts, you know, the CPU, and you know, call I want to see play art for everybody's plays, even where my player is not doing anything, you know, because I just need that reassurance that I'm doing my job. Because there's nothing worse than, you know, you getting those, you know, call for pass ignored, or, you know, defensive breakdown, or, you know, crap like that. You know, if I can play man to man defense. And if I'm in a zone, it's just like, I need the play art to say, stand here. Rarely do we ever go in a zone though.
So I love it. I'm having a great time. I'm not good at it. Don't care, because I got plenty of time to play this game, right? I have plenty of time. I'll be playing this game for a long time. I'll be playing it easily until springtime, and maybe even longer, because we've got a couple of next gen sports games coming soon, which I'm going to be all over. One of which I already own, thanks to buying current gen Madden, and the other, which I will buy because that's what I do.
By the way, Rich, before you go beyond that,
I was going to say, did you have any other thoughts on NBA 2K before we jump ahead to the next?
Okay. No, in general, I think NBA 2K21 on next gen is a much better effort than they had on the current gen or past gen, whatever you want to refer. Might be too early to call it that, but it's a much better effort. I think the game plays a lot more true, some of the gameplay improvements, and certainly the capabilities of the system, like we talked about, really do enhance what you're getting. I was just going to say, though, Rich, you mentioned you're going to get FIFA. anybody out there who's wants next gen Madden or next gen FIFA, buy past gen Madden or past gen FIFA for 20 some bucks here at over Black Friday, because you get the upgrade for free. Do not spend. I don't even know if EA is selling. Actually, now that I mentioned it, I don't even know if EA is selling those. Do we know if they're selling dedicated just a next gen version, Owen, of Madden and FIFA? Because I haven't seen any pre-orders for that.
I have not been aware of that, and I don't understand why they would. I mean, I think they would just put the same up for $20. Yeah.
So it's like Cyberpunk, where they just release the PS4 and Xbox One version, and then eventually you get the upgrade.
And
they're not selling a next gen version of Cyberpunk. So I guess maybe that's what we're seeing, because they haven't put out specific next gen pre-orders. So even if they did, though, you wouldn't want to spend 60 or 70, whatever, on it that way. You'd want to get the past gen. So, Rich, if you want FIFA, get it over Black Friday for 20-some bucks.
Can I get it now for 20 bucks, or is it still?
I don't know. $40? It has been 20-something already. I don't know. Well, what system and digital or disc? What are you looking to get?
I should probably get it on the Xbox Series X, right? Because I have EA access on there, so I would get it for.
Well, if you own it, it's not going to matter.
I don't know.
If you wanted to wait for it,
I feel like I should know, and I have no idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going to wait for it to go into EA access, then Xbox, yeah. But I guess that's true of PlayStation also now. But if you're going to own it, it doesn't really matter.
My Xbox is 92.7% full.
Well, this is, you know what? Let me mention this about NBA 2K also, now that you bring it up. It's like 120 gigs. It's absurdly big, and I downloaded the wrong version the first time. Apparently you can download a past gen version of it, the PlayStation 4 version of it, and then I'm like, oh no. So I just downloaded, I don't know what that one was, 60 gigs or something, and then I'm like, oh, got to delete that, now download another 120 gigs. I no longer have a data cap. I pay for unlimited data now.
Smart.
But had I not, that's with Spider-Man, and I've downloaded a whole bunch of games, I would have been easily over a gig downloaded last week. It's crazy.
How do I, I'm asking you live on the show, Brian, how do I fix my 92.7% full hard drive situation on my Xbox Series X?
That's problematic, because you do not want to delete like NBA 2K just to download it again. If you have a data cap, or if you want to, you know, if you're worried about the time it takes.
I'll tell you one game I am going to delete is Forza Horizon 4. It looks great, plays great, but that's the only game that of either of those series that I dislike. I love Forza Horizon 2 and 3 in the original. I love Forza. Forza 7 was beautiful. Loved it. Forza Horizon 4 drives me crazy. I can't believe that's the only one that they got at like 60 frames or whatever, you know, the high. It looks amazing. Just that game drives me crazy. I cannot have fun playing it. It's a personal problem. I recognize it. I've ranted here before on it. I won't do it again. But it's sadly ironic, Brian, that that's the one game, the one racing game from that entire franchise they have optimized for the Series X. That's the one. Ugh. Mm. Frustrating.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, you know, I've kind of caught, you know, like you, Rich, we've got both systems. So I've kind of got them split. So I haven't come upon my hard drive getting full, but it's definitely a concern I can see for a lot of people. Like on my Xbox right now, I've got NBA 2K. I've got the last gen Madden. I downloaded and started playing Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
I did too.
I've downloaded Titanfall 2. I've not played. And then I downloaded Tetris Effect.
Titanfall 2 is a great game. And I don't even like those kind of games. That is a great game.
Yeah, and then on PlayStation 5, I've got... both systems, I've got NBA 2K. If you want to talk about the data I download, I've got it on both, which I started working to compare them a little bit when I first got them. Spider-Man... Rocket League and FIFA over on the PlayStation. So I've kind of got them split across so I don't have that issue.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm going to face that in the future. But if you just got one system, you can fill that up real quick. Oh, especially what is Call of Duty is another one that's like 150 right. gigs or something. You combine that with NBA and your hard drive's almost full already.
Right. Well, here's what I got. I'm 92.7% full. I've downloaded Ace Combat 7, Cuphead.
These are all Game Pass, Rich? All this stuff?
Cuphead I purchased. That's not Game Pass. Okay. But Ace Combat is Game Pass. FIFA 21 I'm downloading right now, so that's what got me to 92.7. Forza Horizon 4, which is optimized for the X and the S. That's why I downloaded it, because it's one of the few games that's optimized for it. That's Game Pass, but I'm probably going to delete it just because, again, I told you the game drives me crazy. I downloaded Forza 7. Haven't tried it yet, but that's via Game Pass, although I owned it as well. Gears 5, which is optimized for the X and the S. And I actually enjoyed Gears 5. I have not finished it, but a significant amount of that game, and enjoyed it. And again, that's a series I like. I don't like that series, but this particular version is a really fun game.
Rich, I hate to say it, but if you're installing games that are not Xbox Series X optimized to your internal solid state drive, I mean, you're wasting space. And I hate to say this because it's like, oh, you got to go buy an external hard drive, and that's a hidden cost. But, you know, external hard drives can be quite cheap, you know, not solid state drives, but the stuff that is acceptable for Xbox One and Xbox 360 games, you know, you can get a roomier external hard drive and put those games on that and save your SSD for, you know, the really necessary stuff, you know, which is, you know, a native game. It's almost like mandatory. I hate to say it, but I hear you talking about putting Cuphead and Ace Combat on your SSD, and I'm thinking, what's this guy doing?
Oh, really? I didn't even know that. Now I have external hard drives on my Xbox One X and my PlayStation 4 Pro. Like I know I'm gonna do that. I'm just surprised that I need it so soon.
Just pull it over and plug it in. That's literally all you have to do. It's the same system. I'm speaking to the Xbox Series X only, but you know, like I said, every Xbox One X, you know, games with gold and everything, all the codes that I've gotten over 12 years of writing about video games. Like I said, this summer I said, you know what, I'm going to have them all right here. And, you know, I got a friggin' 8 terabyte hard drive and hooked it up and did it. So, Brian, you want to talk about unlimited data plans? I can cover all you got right there. You know, and nobody came knocking on my door, you know, like with the FBI wondering if I was downloading, you know, Hillary Clinton's server or something. You don't need 8 terabytes. That was just me going, what the hell can I get?
No, I didn't realize this. So you're saying that installing a previous gen game is a bad use of the SSD hard drive? I had no idea.
Oh, absolutely. It's a bad use of it. And especially if you do already have, you know, I mean, shit, you could, I'm sorry, heck, you could just do a thumb drive, you know, so long as it's formatted, all of it is formatted for the Xbox, you know, One X, it will show you how to do, you know, the formatting, but, you know, you give the whole volume over to it. You can't partition it. So long as you do that, I mean, you could put, you know, all of those games on there. And since there are, you know, decidedly more of those games for Xbox One and for Xbox 360 with all their backward compatibility, it's much better. I have on my Series X, I have Watch Dogs Legion. I've got NBA 2K21 a Dirt 5 and WRC 9 and Forza Horizon 4 through Game Pass. And I think that's about it. And I'm, you know, about halfway full, a little bit more. So, yeah.
Well, I will say, as far as like what the systems do for the past gen games, I mean, if you move them off. Some of them, it won't really matter. I will, with PGA Tour 2K21 on the Xbox, loading times are better. It's noticeable. And I don't get a sense it does much else for the game, but it does actually make a difference there. Super Mega Baseball 3 was already pretty quick, but it helps a little there too. Madden and FIFA, Madden being on the Xbox for me and FIFA on the PlayStation, you know, I think the loading times are better, but it still feels excruciatingly like it drags. It feels like it's dragging just because of now all I have to compare it to is NBA 2K and Spider-Man. and those are just, they just load in such a flash. So I, you know, it's, if you have the room to have them on the SSD, I guess it makes sense. Right, Owen, but you're getting minimal out of it by being there. Yeah. If it's filling it up, or if you're having to choose against putting something else on it.
You're only going to see the benefit in the loading time. With me, you know, like I said, I had been running on a launch Xbox One the whole way. So when I launched F1 2020, which is an Xbox One game, you know, off of that external drive, I mean, that still loads, you know, much faster, you know, especially between races, where it can get really kind of long on my old machine. So I probably noticed the difference a lot more than maybe people who have an Xbox One X would notice, but there is a little bit of a gain there. You'll still see. It's just, you know, you don't need to give all of that gain to a last generation game. I don't think there's that much point.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the coming Madden and FIFA. Owen, you have had a little bit of exposure, I guess. Is that the right term to what's coming next gen with Madden and or FIFA, I believe, right?
Yeah. Well, Madden mostly. I mean, they did a roundtable, sort of a virtual preview session with the creative director, with producer, with the executive producer about what they're doing. And, you know, I wrote about it for Polygon and, you know, I can only tell you what they're promising. And yes, you know, Madden is the kind of thing, any sports game is the kind of thing where they always go, it's going to be totally different. But with Madden, what I do sort of, yeah, I mean, conceptually, at least what they're talking about doing with taking this gigantic database of player movement on the field, all 22 players, how they behave, I understand it's like if that actually, you know, goes as they say, then you're talking about solving a lot of problems with blocking, you know, with lurking linebackers, with, you know, things in the secondary. You're talking about a lot of things getting solved with route running, especially on, you know, wide receivers. So they're saying that, you know, Madden NFL 21 next generation, you're going to notice a huge gameplay difference from the first snap, which is, you know, a great claim to make. It's also a claim I expect them to make. However, I will point out that, you know, the last time we had a console transition with Madden was 2013. We had Madden NFL 25, which, by the way, we're only 4 short years from seeing what the hell they're going to do.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I remember just thinking that was such a silly problem because it was so far away. We've talked about it on the show many times, and yes, it's there.
I can't wait. Anyway, I hope they put Peyton Hillis on the cover. But I mean, I know he was on 2 years before that, but still, in 2013 on Xbox 360, you know, they had a stand pat. Madden did game. A lot of people were disappointed in it. I was disappointed in it. I gave it a no for Kotaku. And, but when the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 came out that November and Madden 25 launched for it, there was a serious gameplay difference. Now, it took a little while to see, but especially with the blocking intelligence, it was like, wow, you know, they actually are using the hardware here for something more than just looks nice. And so it did play a lot better. Running the ball was a lot smoother. I mean, these are all recollections of impressions, of course. So it's like, you know, EA does, EA Tiburon does have sort of a track record of putting their money where their mouth is in terms of, you know, once they make use of the hardware to take a game that has just been, you know, patched over and papered over and this and that and the other slapped onto it, when they finally go, okay, now we can, you know, give ourselves a lot more cycles to do things that you know, we really just couldn't do with the past hardware, you will see it applied to things like, you know, the player intelligence, which is where Madden has always had problems, is in rendering plays that just don't look anything like real life. And it makes people angry because people watch a lot of football and they expect us to look like that. I am optimistic that Madden is going to actually deliver on what it's promising by incorporating this, you know, real life data set. Again, you know, you can't do much better than what actually happened. And if they go, you know, this is how Tyreek Hill runs a deep drag, you know, who am I to say it ain't? And if it's something where it makes the passing game a little less robotic and more interesting and easier to defend, of course, and if it's something where it doesn't feel like I feel cheap when I spear a guy in the corner of the end zone practically with his back to me, but then I look at you know, the catch in Arizona a couple weeks ago, and I go, well, you know, that looks like something I'd do in Madden. And I'm sure it didn't feel cheap, you know, to them. So if we can start bridging that gap and doing it with this data, my mind is open. I'm willing to be impressed. I'm ready to be impressed. And I think they can do it.
I can't wait. Like I'm so happy. And again, it's not because I'm expecting to be blown away by some, you know, wild advancement. It's just I played Madden every year. I'm in an online league right now. We just had our draft today. I wasn't around to do it, but I set up my draft board, and it's an active Madden league with like 30 people in it. You know, it's the fourth string league, right? You know, it's the fourth string league, which was the precursor to this show, for crying out loud. Again, as we started tonight talking about how we launched at the you know, the shows we did at the launch of the last generation, again, that we're talking some of these, you know, some of these things we're talking about, you know, relationships and leagues and these games go back 20, 30 years. It's amazing. But I'm excited because the move from the, you know, previous generation to the current generation was good. You know, people may or may not love what Madden, you know, did over the course of that generation, but overall I had no problem with it. No problem with it at all. I played it every year. We're in leagues, we have fun. So I'm excited. I don't understand what any of the stuff you talked about means, Owen, and I don't mean that in a caveman type of way. I don't know what the application of that means, but I am as somebody who has been a part of, you know, projects where you do incorporate real live data into how you set attributes and how you calibrate, you know, what the overall dynamics are of a particular universe that you set up, I totally get it from that perspective. So I'm excited. I, as a you know, unabashed Madden fan, I like the series. I always have. I have never subscribed to the hate train when it comes to Madden.
I suppose I should back up really quick and just set the context, because I assumed people knew what I was talking about. What happens is, you know, there's been an RFID chip in every NFL player's jersey over the past 5 years, and they've recorded everybody's movements during a play, and they, you know, use this to make all kinds of you know, amazing next-gen stats and predictions and things. You've probably seen ads about it during halftime. That data is now going into Madden, and that data is now going to inform how the players behave in that game. So,
yeah, and that's great. And how could that not be a tremendous step forward in making the game more realistic? Now, of course, the more realistic you make a game, the more difficult you theoretically make it for, you know, people who aren't professional football, you know, coordinators and salary capologists to play it. You know, that's my biggest problem in the online league that I'm in, is the draft that we had, right? I made a couple of bad mistakes, even though I was even working with somebody to help me. And now I have like $20 million in salary cap penalties. It just drives me insane. Like, the more realistic this stuff gets, the more complex you potentially make it. For people like me, when it comes to console video games, I want to show up and I want to play the games, right? So, but I'm excited. But, I've purposely not paid attention to what's happening. I just want to download the game the day that it's available, play it, and see what happens. And that's exactly what I'm going to do for both Madden and FIFA. I'm ready. Let's do this, Brian Wiedei.
Yeah, I think that's an opportunity, like Owen was going into. It's an opportunity for them to establish some things that they build on this coming generation. I was just thinking back to how, really, I feel like sports games peaked about 3 years into the last generation, and then they've kind of tailed off since then. And so they're putting themselves in position to hopefully get there with Madden, and after this last year, or the last few months, and the last couple of years, I think they really needed a bit of a reset. And with COVID and everything that caused all these delays and having to develop from home and all these complications.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into that because I've said it before. That's massive impact on everything we're talking about. Yeah. Every game, every piece of hardware, every person delivering this to our houses, everything from the fact that any of this happened this year to me is amazing and a huge accomplishment for everybody involved, for Sony, for Microsoft, for Electronic Arts. Like them or not, just to get this stuff in our hands with what's happened in 2020 is absolutely amazing, in my opinion. Yeah.
So I don't have high expectations for Madden, which they've talked a little bit about now, and FIFA, which they haven't talked, strangely, haven't really even talked about, and we're only less than 3 weeks away from them coming out, and they haven't even really mentioned it. I'm not going to get super excited about them, but I do think, I'm anticipating them in a way I didn't in the past, because I think it's going to give us a little bit of a glimpse into where they are going with them. And Madden certainly feels like it needs that right now. And just something a little bit different, I think, would be fun. And so, and very much needed. So we'll see. We'll have to see what happens, because it's easy to talk about all these technical things. And the only thing that I'm expecting with all certainty is the fast load times. And then anything beyond that will be a pleasant surprise for me.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm hopeful. I'm not going to be disappointed if it is something very similar to what I played on Xbox One X this go around at all either. I'm just not. But I'm hopeful. And I also, the other thing I'm really excited about, and again, not because of any information that's come out, quite the opposite. But boy, MLB The Show on the PlayStation 5 sounds really tantalizing. Plus, it's going to be multi-platform, which means Owen is going to be able to play it on his Xbox Series X as well.
Again, that's cool. I mean, I might get it for the Xbox just to do something crazy and play MLB The Show on a different system. That's going to be fun.
Owen, have you sort of thought about MLB The Show moving into the next generation, going multi-platform, and what that will mean for all sorts of different folks?
I'm going to have to admit my ignorance. I know that they were developing for, they said that the deal that they cut, and this is back in the spring, was developing for multi-platform, but did they go ahead and confirm that we're going to see it on Xbox Series X next year?
I don't think that has been confirmed, no. But I'm pretty sure. I mean, not pretty sure. I know that both Microsoft and Nintendo tweeted about MLB The Show, so they'll be coming for both of those platforms. But no, they have not made any, I don't think.
Okay, no.
Specific.
I don't have any reason to doubt that they would be next year, but I also don't have any confirmation that they are next year.
Well, I think I'm pretty sure that next year is the multi-platform year, so I would be surprised.
It's the first year they can. Oh, for sure. It's the first year they technically can do it, or at least that's what they announced, right? But
also, I mean, from a personal standpoint, I'm going to have a PS5 by then, so I'll be playing it.
Let's hope.
Yeah. No, I mean, that it, I've got to play MLB The Show. But I mean, that is it's very interesting in the sense of, you look at all of these things, it's like Microsoft owns Minecraft. You can play Minecraft on PlayStation. Microsoft owns Bethesda. You're definitely going to be playing Bethesda games on PlayStation. I can assure you of that. And you've got, you know, cross-platform, cross-console play now. I mean, they're starting to talk to each other. It's not like you got Ford making parts for Chevy or anything like that. But, you know, I think this is sort of a recognition that, you know, the machines do different things, and the sale of one does not necessarily mean, you know, that it's zero sum and the other is hurt somehow. I mean, it may mean that somebody buys only one console, because I don't expect everyone to be like me. But, you know, the fact that Sony is willing to let Major League Base, it's the game it develops, which I maintain is still the only sports video game capable of selling a console. You may not seem like it, but, you know, think about it. You know, is willing to let that go onto other platforms. You know, I think it's obviously it's a good thing. And, you know, it'll be a long night will have passed for Xbox fans between this and the execrable MLB 2K. What was that? 13?
The roster update one? That's it?
To this day, yeah. I've never seen a more... I don't even know what word to use for what Owen did to that MLB 2K game, that review. Wow.
Well, I mean, I was angry about that, but that wasn't a particularly well-written review, to be honest. but, I mean, it was like, you know, that was born... Well, we don't have to talk about that. I mean, it was born of frustration that they wouldn't give us a straight answer of what they intended to do with the license in that last year. But anyway. I'm looking forward to it just from a health of the genre standpoint overall. I mean, it's only a good thing, you know, get these games into people's hands, you know, bring back baseball fans to the Xbox, because they've been badly missing it.
All right. Anything else you wanted to touch on? You played a little racing games, right, there, Owen? So any sort of other missives from your Series X before we get out of here?
I have Dirt 5, been playing that, and I have WRC9, been playing that. WRC9 is largely the same experience as what 8 was, just, you know, faster loading, a little bit better. Dirt 5 is a really fun game. You know, I've written up impressions comparing it to MotorStorm, if you guys played those or enjoyed those series. And that's great because it's got MotorStorm's development DNA in it. I have, and this is just me being a cranky old man, you know, but I've really become a motorsports fan over the past couple of years. And I just spend an inordinate amount of time in F1 2020. I mean, that is, you know, I've got a whole emergent narrative about my racing team going in that sucker. And, you know, I was talking with our editor in chief about this, Chris Plant, you know, what's the best sports game of the year kind of thing. And I said, you know, F1 2020 took a massive leap forward with its career again, following what it did last year when it had a narrative mode in its career. But I also don't think that unless you're already a fan of Formula One racing, it's not really going to make you into one. It's not going to do that much for you. So it's not like Madden or FIFA, you know, doing something, a complete overhaul to their career systems. Still great, still very edifying. But it's a little bit niche and for, you know, racing nerds like me. But I'm very happy with both that and, you know, Dirt 5. And Dirt 5 is the kind of game that, when you take it next to the very hardcore sim Dirt Rally 2.0 and then the more sim but more mass market Dirt 4, you've got three games that do completely different things in the same series, and they're still relevant to play on launch day, obviously Dirt 5 because it just launched. But you still got three games there that are worth playing for very good reasons, even though they're spanning, you know, three editions in the past 4 years. So, you know, Codemasters has done a really good job with its rally series.
Codemasters recently acquired by Take-Two.
That's right. You know, again, and actually, you know, that's good on Take-Two because it's like they go and identify, you know, things where there are holes and only one person does them well. And they move into that, and they try to move into that, and whether that's by acquisition or by development, they'll figure it out. But that's very much in the character of Take-Two right there, picking up Codemasters. I couldn't see really any other major publisher or publicly traded publisher doing that.
Brian Weida, any other thoughts on the next generation that you have jumped into with both feet?
I'm not, like you said, not disappointed. Just in general, just waiting for something special to happen. And NBA 2K is really good, like we talked about, but I'm not feeling that jump quite yet with everything. I'm appreciating what the consoles are offering, but I'm waiting for more games. You know, I feel like what is coming around the corner other than Madden and FIFA, it feels like we're going to have a bit of a wait until we get MLB The Show.
Right, that's all right. It just gives you time, right? You don't have to.
But there's a lot. This is why I wanted the Xbox a little more right now. Other than Spider-Man, right? Other than that one, I really wanted the Xbox more because I'm going back to some of these past games through Game Pass, and then that's also where I own Super Mega Baseball 3 and mm-hmm. PGA Tour 2K.
Yep.
So. I'm gonna go back through some of those, and that's
PGA
not
is really good. Really
yeah,
good.
I mean that's definitely one of the better ones, and sharpening up those load times makes a big difference. Uh-huh. But I'm happy, like you said, I'm happy to have them. I'm happy to have both. Oh, yeah. But I just feel like it's more like preparing for what's uh-huh. to come than getting a lot out of it right now.
That's what we did. We future-proofed our video games. Whatever the biggest, best version of a console video game that can be done in the next few years. We're there.
Yeah, and
we got it.
If you plan on owning the consoles at some point in the next year or two, then waiting doesn't really make much sense because you're not really going to save any money by waiting. So have it
really
and let it sit in your room.
That much. Like that's the other thing. Yeah. Like a lot of people are listening to us talk who want these machines, and I completely understand that 100%.
No, if you can get it and you want it, it makes sense. But you're not missing out.
If you
don't have
it and you can't get one, and I know friends of mine who are in that situation, they're like, I would love to walk into a store and buy one, right? Please, just somebody let me buy one of these things. I'll get one, right? And they're just tough to get. For those of you in that situation, and it sounds hollow coming from someone who has them both, but you're not missing that much, right? It's good. It's great. You won't be unhappy to have it, but you're not missing something that is that much more than you can currently play if you've got a PlayStation 4 Pro and or Xbox One X. It's not, especially if you're not really into the tech, right? Like me, I'm not really into the tech. Miles Morales looks great on my PlayStation 5 and on the television, Brian, that you told me to get, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It loads so quickly. But, you know, it's also, if I was playing it on my PlayStation 4 Pro, I would probably enjoy it just as much. You know? So, that's all.
You wouldn't know. Yeah, and you wouldn't know any better. So.
Right? Like, you know, if you can't get it, it's not, you're not missing that much. But I'm glad that I have them both. I am glad. And if I didn't have them, I would be trying to get them. Because that's who I am. That's what I do. You know? So I'm glad I have them.
No.
And, And I might try, and I think that Dave might be available. I might get a Series S for downstairs.
Wow.
Might. I'm not saying I will. I'm saying I might. I'm not saying, you know, it's certainly not out of the question, but I'm also not doing it right now either. But that's a really small machine that does a whole lot of good stuff.
Yeah, we never even talked about how I had to. I can't use both. I can't put both consoles in my TV stand and move the Xbox off to on top of a cabinet to the side of the TV now.
Yeah.
Those things are like the Xbox actually not as big as I thought it would be. The PlayStation is bigger than I thought it would be.
PlayStation is a large machine.
Yeah.
I don't want to put my Series X sideways. It looks like it should be vertical.
I like it standing up, but I have my PlayStation horizontal.
I have my PlayStation. I have both vertical. Mm, but the problem is my Xbox One X, which is in the spot where the Series X needs to go, is not a vertical machine. The Xbox Series X will not fit vertically in the spot where it needs to go. Right now, it's sitting on top of the entertainment center, which blocks the bottom right corner of the TV. I want to put it into the slot where the Xbox Series, the Xbox One X is, but that means I will have to turn it on its side, and that makes me nervous. I be nervous?
Well, I was just going to say that the thing that I have to deal with, as far as the PS5 goes, is yes, it's a large machine, but it looks like it's got a high center of gravity, and I have two cats. Mm-hmm. That love to jump on my entertainment center. So I'm thinking that sucker might have to be going horizontal. I just hope I have a wide enough space for it, because apparently, this thing is about the size of a Costco sheet cake or something.
Well, and my cat unceremoniously dumped an entire, a very large cup of coffee all over my really nice keyboard, which kind of bored my keyboard today. So, yeah, I know exactly where you're coming from there. All right. Well, very good. Guys, this was great. Again, old school throwback. Owen, Rich, and Brian. Fantastic. Let's say in about 7 or 8 years, we sign up and make sure we do the next console generation launch. What do you say?
Woohoo! PS6 and Xbox Series V.
Which there will be.
Yeah.
We've been calling the end of the console the end of the console cycle forever. There will be a PlayStation 6. Guaranteed. There absolutely positively will. Who knows what it'll be? There will be a PlayStation 6. That I am 100% confident of.
Likewise.
Owen Good from Polygon, where can people see what you do out there on the internet, sir?
At polygon.com and go polygon.com/sports, and that's where we keep all of our stuff in a roundup there, me and Smith. So hit us up for all your sports needs.
Brian Weedy, Pasta Padre, where can people see everything you're doing, sir?
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at Pasta Padre. That's generally where you're gonna find anything I care enough about to tweet. You don't even hang on Twitter anymore, Rich.
Nope, I got
how
out.
Do you know what's going? How do you know what's going on?
I don't, and it's great. I just work. It's fantastic. It's so good, so good. That's all there is, Brian. Thank you, sir. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. I know there's a bunch of you listening tonight who are also listening 7 years ago to the three of us talk about the previous console generations multiple times. Thank you for being here for this time, too. We appreciate it. We'll keep doing this. We're going to be doing some more stuff between now and the end of the year and the start of the new year. We'll talk about sports games of the year. We'll talk about racing games of the year, all that kind of stuff. We'll do it. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you, Owen. Thank you, Brian. We will talk to everybody again real soon. Cheers.
Cheers.